All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Yud in Chulin. We're back on Tessamen Aleph, Tessamen Beis, in that area. Okay, and we will hopefully catch up a little bit today. But again, just so much basic stuff, and especially today, going to give everyone a lot to think about. So hang with me. Last we left off was with a very fundamental statement of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that there are two operating chazakas when we deal with an animal. Chazaka number one, says Rav Huna, is the fact that the animal is a chazaka of an eino shchuta, meaning while it's alive, it's prohibited. What the prohibition is, so as I mentioned yesterday, it's somewhat debatable. Rashi says that the prohibition is eiver min achai. The animal is a live animal. You're not allowed to eat a piece of flesh off a live animal. And the Rush quotes the Rashba, and there's a Tosfos also, not here on the daf, but elsewhere, that says, no, the prohibition is eino shchuta. It's simply not shechted, right? It's a Isra say, is the kind of terminology that we used yesterday. Okay, whatever the case is, the animal, while it's alive, is usher. Okay, let's leave it plain and simple. And you want to now eat the animal, so you have to know with absolute positive certainty that the shechita that you performed is a correct shechita, is a valid shechita. So Rav Huna therefore says that if you don't know that with 100% certainty, so therefore you have to go back to your previous chazaka. Your previous chazaka is that the animal is usher, and that's it. So for example, we saw this yesterday, according to Rav Huna, if you don't check the simanim, meaning you shechted the animal, but you didn't check the actual pipes that you cut, and you didn't make sure that you actually cut the majority of each one of those two pipes, so the shechita is not going to be a good shechita, because you don't know with 100% certainty that you shechted the animal, and then you have to go revert back to your previous chazaka, which is that the animal was aser. Okay, that's chazaka number one. Chazaka number two of Rav Huna is that the animal is an eino treifa, meaning that the animal, while it's alive, was not a treifa, and the animal, even post-shechita, is also not a treifa as well. Okay, now a treifa is the third parak of Chulin 24, Blad of Gemara, is going to be discussing what treifa actually is. Shmon Esar treifa. There are 18 categories of treifa, which we'll be discussing over the course of the third parak, but as a presumption, our presumption is going to be the animal is an eino treifa. It's not a treifa. And with the obvious result would be that you don't have to check for treifa. Now the lungs we check, and again, the lungs is its own story, but fundamentally speaking, however, we are going to assume the animal is not a treifa. If we happen to encounter a treifa, or if there is suspicion, if there's cause for suspicion that the animal is a treifa, so then we'll do some sort of search and discovery. But otherwise, we are going to presume that the animal is not a treifa. Good. Those are two fundamental chazakas that Rav Huna introduced us to yesterday. And good. And that it took us to, not the end of yesterday's daf, but to the point we got to yesterday on Tessamet Aleph. We are now starting on Tessamet Aleph. We are starting with the words Gufa. It is three quarters down the page. It's the first words in the line. Gufa, Amar Rav Huna. Behema bechaye becheskas. Sister omeres aichi yivadalecha bama nishchata. Nishchata becheskas. Heter omeres aichi yivadalecha bama nitrefa. The Gemara reiterates Rav Huna's two fundamental principles, and the Gemara now asks the following question. The Gemara's question over here is so simple. In other words, Rav Huna is talking in such fundamental terms. Isn't Rav Huna's basic point is yishechted its mutter? Right? That's essentially what Rav Huna is saying. But he's using terminology of chazaka, and as Rashi explains, when you use terminology of chazaka, what are you trying to say? You're trying to say that if a suffix comes along, don't worry about it because we have our chazaka. Meaning chazaka will trump anything, even a suffix. Well, not anything, I shouldn't say that. But chazaka will trump a number of things. If there's any suffix, the chazaka will trump a suffix. So, but isn't Rav Huna's point just plain and simple? You shecht an animal, you can eat it. So the Gemara says, no. HaKamash malan da'afa gavdis yalad be'reyusa kidabah minei Rabbi Abba mei Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, no. Rav Huna is in fact trying to tell us something, not just you shecht it, it's okay to eat, but more than that, the Rav Huna is actually imparting to us very basic fundamental principles, and that it's not just shecht and eat, but there are chazakas involved. The Gemara says, for example, consider the following. A question that was posed from Rabbi Kedabai Minei Rabbi Abba Mei Rav Huna. Right. A question was asked of Rav Huna. The following. Baz Ze'ev V'natal B'nei Me'ayim. Okay. Shecht an animal. Okay. Take out the insides of the animal and you lay the intestines on the floor. Okay. There was a wolf hanging right outside your slaughterhouse, and the wolf's looking at the intestines, and he got excited, naturally. And so what the wolf does is the wolf runs and he grabs the intestines, but he doesn't grab it with his hands, he grabs it with his mouth. And so now he takes the b'nei ma'ayim, he takes the intestines. Now, when it comes to dak and when it comes to the intestines, we will learn in the third parak that any puncture on the intestines would render the animal a trefa. But, again, this is the intestines post-shchita. Okay, so a wolf comes along and takes the intestines with his mouth, which means that he actually punctured the intestines. But poshchita, who cares? So mahun, so nata, so the Gemara says halesnehu. So the Gemara says, first of all, what exactly are you asking me? If the wolf came and he took it, so what's the shaila? Meaning, it's not here right now. So what are you asking me? I don't see it. Okay? So, and again, we will assume everything's fine until we know otherwise. Ella, naka b'nei ma'amahu. So the Gemara says, okay, well, how about this? How about the wolf comes into the slaughterhouse, sticks his teeth into the intestines, but then he sees you, quickly releases the intestines and runs out. And now you look at the intestines and you see there's a hole in the intestines. So again, the Gemara says, I still don't understand. What's the question? Right? Hakachazinan dehu nakvehu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm looking at what just happened. Meaning, I know there's a hole in the intestines, but I also saw with my own eyes that the wolf himself put the holes in the intestines. So, again, I don't get it. What are you asking me? Ela natlan v'hichzirin kishahin nekuvin. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. How about, consider the following. Wolf takes the intestines outside the slaughterhouse. Okay? And then comes back a little bit later, was not happy with the intestines. Apparently did not meet his standards. Right, did not meet his standards, his very high standards, and he returned the intestines. He wasn't sure. And so he returned the intestines. And now we're looking at a set of intestines with a whole bunch of holes in them. Okay. And now I don't know, meaning it's very possible that the wolf put the holes in the intestine, but I'm really not sure. I didn't see that happen. So mahu mi chayshin and shema b'makom nekev nakav alo. Do we say that when the wolf took it and now I found it with holes afterwards? Do I say that those holes were created by the wolf, or maybe what the Gemara is suggesting is that, you know what, the holes were already there, meaning the animal already had a pre-existing condition of being a trefa, specifically by having some sort of puncture in the intestines, and maybe by sheer coincidence, the wolf inserted his teeth, his sharp teeth, into the area that already had a hole in it. Now, that is somewhat improbable, but should it be a consideration? Amarle ein choshishim shema b'makom nekev nakav. Rav Huna gives a very definitive answer, and Rav Huna says, don't worry. Okay? And now we understand why Rav Huna, when he puts the terms in front of us, the concepts in front of us, he puts it in the terminology of chazaka. What does Rav Huna say, don't worry? Because Rav Huna is basing himself on the idea of chazaka, the whole concept of chazaka. We have a general presumption that the majority of animals go around and they're healthy and they're fine and they don't have a trefa. And even if there may be some cause to suggest that the animal's a trefa, but there, if there's a way to explain how else this hole came into being, specifically in this particular case, the wolf put the holes in the intestine, even though I didn't see the wolf do it, but the wolf put the holes in the intestine, so I will now say, look, we have a chazaka. The chazaka is the animal's not a trefa, and I have a good explanation in terms of why the intestines right have holes in them right now, so I'm going to go with my chazaka. My chazaka will trump either suffix that exists in front of me. Good. Esve, the Gemara says, how about we consider the following? Okay? So now what we have learned is the basic chazaka of Rav Huna. It's twofold chazaka. The chazaka that the animal is aser until you know for a fact that you shechted it. And once you shechted it, we're going to presume the animal's an eno trefa until you know for a fact that it's a trefa. Okay. Esve. Ra tzipor hamenaker b'teino v'achbar hamenaker be'avatichim. I see a bird poking around in a fig. I see a rat chewing on the avatiach. Now, most people I know, we live in a very, very, you know, pristine and hygiene, in a very hygienic country. Most people wouldn't touch that watermelon. Now, I know that. However, if you go back a couple hundred years and, you know, and it's a watermelon, it's still a good watermelon. I know the rat ate it, but it's the only watermelon we got. So the question now is a very simple question. Can I eat the watermelon? Now, so choshishin shema b'makom nekev nakav. So we're worried. Now, but to be clear over here, this is not a halachic concern. This is a sakana concern. Because, what are we talking about? Not to be too gross, but the saliva of the rodent is what we're worried about? No, of course not. Meaning, I'll share the saliva with the rodent. That's not our concern. Our concern is that, you see, now that we see a puncture hole in the fig, or we see puncture holes in the watermelon, let's concern ourselves with the following. This is not the first animal that attacked this fig or watermelon. And a previous animal, which I didn't see, but more importantly, a venomous animal, like a snake or some other venomous animal, went ahead and inserted his teeth into the same exact holes that the rat or the bird happens to be going into right now. Now again, that's a lot of conjecture, but the Gemara says very clearly it's a concern. Okay, so obviously this is the Gemara's attempt to attack Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna says we have chazaka, we have basic principles of chazaka. And over here, we are worried about something which is maybe improbable, but we are absolutely worried about it. So the Gemara gives a very, very basic answer. Amalei mika medame sisur l'sakanta sakana shani. You're comparing over here isser versus sakana. Meaning, the concept of treifa, the concept of shechita, those are all halachic issues. And there are halachic rules and halachic guidelines. I follow the halachic rules. Chazaka, rov, I work within halachic framework. When it comes to sakana, meaning my life, so there we're gonna be overly cautious. More cautious, I know this is a little bit counterintuitive, especially when we're learning Gemara, but this is a basic rule. I'll be more cautious when it comes to the preservation of my own life than I would when it comes to Isser. Even though Isser is also a reality, but it doesn't, but Isser has a framework and a guideline. But when it comes to sakana, when it comes to my own life, so I'll be even more cautious. And the Gemara now for the next Amud, from here until the top of Yud Amud Aleph, is going to now see whether or not this really pans out. Is this true? That when it comes to sakana, we're going to be more cautious by sakana than we are by Isser. And the conclusion, if I can give away the punchline of the Gemara, is, yeah, that's absolutely correct. Chamira sakanta misura. Sakana is more... We are more cautious by sakana than we are by itzer. Okay. The Gemara says, "Amalei Rava, Maishna Safik Sakanta Lechomra Safik Yisur Nami Lechomra." So Rava says, "I don't see a difference." Meaning, if by a Safik Sakana we're going to be Machmir, shouldn't we be the same by Safik Isser? Right. I don't see what the difference is. Amalei Abai Veloshana Ben Yisur Lasakanta. So the Gemara says. So Abai's response to Rava is, "Really, you don't see a difference?" Let me see if I can try to demonstrate the following. Look, Safik Tuma and Rishus Arabim, right? There is a question as to whether or not I touch Tuma. I don't know. What's the halacha? The halacha is very clear. In Rishus Arabim, in a public area, they were lenient, where it's Tahor. In a private area, we're going to be Tame. But hold off on the private area for just a moment. In a public area, we're going to be lenient. We're going to be tahor. As opposed to, if I have water which is exposed. Okay, we don't... It's funny. This is... the Gemara speaks about this a lot. Mayim Megulim. Right? Mayim Megulim. Yain Megulim. All right? Chalav de Megulim. Well, we're going to go over all three liquids today. On Daf Yud. On top of Daf Yud. But water which is exposed is prohibited. Okay? Tosfos writes a couple places... that nowadays we don't concern ourselves with this prohibition because our snakes are a little bit different. But in the good old days, you left water exposed and unattended to, they had a very serious concern back in the time of the Gemara that a venomous animal went in, took a little sip, and dropped a little bit of venom right in the water. And so therefore, simply put, you can't drink that water, right? Gemara talks about where you can even deposit that water, because you don't want to drink it and you don't want to leave it for other people as well. So, okay. Anyway, but the point the Gemara is making now is, look, when it comes to my Megulim, so obviously we have no idea whether an animal actually deposited venom in the water or not. We're going to be machmir. Meanwhile, a simple suffik in of tumah in a rishus rabim will be mekel.
Even tumah
meis. Right. So the Gemara is saying you don't see the difference between sakana versus iser. The difference is pretty simple. The ilu suffik mayim megulim asrim amar lei. So now this is, let me see if I can follow. This is Rava now turning back to Abaye. So Amar Lei Hasam Halach Hilchasa Gemiri La Misota Masot Brishus Yachid Aftuma Brishus Yachid. So Rava's response to Abaye is, you can't really bring Tuma into this discussion, because Tuma operates on its rules based on Gzeiras HaKasav, meaning it is simply scriptural decree. That when Safik Tumah Brishus HaRabim we're going to be Mekel, and Safik Tumah Brishus HaYachid we're going to be Machmir. Okay, but that doesn't teach us any fundamental principle. That just is based on Gzeiras HaKasav. But over here, though, I will tell you that in general, we're going to be just as cautious by Iser as we are by Sakana.
It's based on Gzeiras HaKasav, the Rova seems to say it's Allah and Moshe Messina.
Right.
It's a Hilchos
HaGemira. Right. Right. It's right. Masiv Rav Shimi. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? Consider the following. Sheretz b'fi chulda v'chulda malachas agav b'kikara shel truma. Okay, great imagery. You have a rat. Now, rats, just know this in general. All these animals don't give off tumma, are not a source of tumma until they're dead. Okay, so the chulda is a rat, it's a rodent.
Is it more of a hedgehog than that?
Whatever. Right, something furry and fuzzy and crawls. And it's got a sheretz in its mouth, a dead sheretz in its mouth, okay? And it's running, what a great image, running on top of loaves of bread, and those loaves of bread are truma. Okay, now, sheretz makes contact, physical contact with any one of those loaves of bread, and we know what the result is, the loaves of bread are going to be tameh. And this is truma, so that means tameh and inedible. Okay, good. But we don't know. Meaning, the only thing that we saw, crazy sight, is this rat, or hedgehog, or whatever you want to call him, running over loaves of truma bread with a dead sheretz in its mouth, and there's possible contact, right? But we don't know. What's the halacha? The chulda malacha sagabi kikar shal truma, safek naga, safek lo naga, sfeiko tahor. Okay? The result is the loaves of bread are tahor. Okay, so what are we talking about over here? We're obviously talking about isurim, right? There's an isur, there's a prohibition to eat truma if it becomes tameh. So we're talking about isurim, and nevertheless, on a suffix, we're going to be mekel. Okay, so once again, you want to tell me that sakana and isur are equivalent. By sakana, we're always going to be machmir, and over here is a suffix isur, and we're going to be mekel. So the ilu safik mayim megulam asurim. So the Gemara says asam nami hilchasa gemiri lami sota. Again, the Gemara says that does not speak to fundamental concepts. That is again gzeiras hakasav. That is simply scriptural decree. Masota davishesh bo das lishal av hachanami davishesh bo das lishal. Because remember, our prototype for determining whether or not it's tumah or tahor is built on the sota. Sota is your prototype case. Now, what's the case of sota? Sota is a man and a woman go into a room and we don't know what happens after that. We obviously have some strong suspicion of what happened, but we don't have actual positive knowledge of what actually happened in that room. What's the halacha? Halacha is she's a sota, which means that she is forbidden to her husband. Again, there's process, right? I know I'm shortening a long story, right? There was warning, and yeah, there was warning in front of witnesses, and okay, and he has to warn against that particular guy, and okay, the beginning of a masechta sota. But the point is that she went into a room, we don't know what happened. Now, from that point forward, she's usher to her husband. So that sets up the prototype for Tumah. Tumah's got to be where it's got to be a private area, and there's another thing that we gain from the prototype case, which is that it's a man and a woman, meaning they have das, right? They have intellect. Obviously not a lot of it, because they shouldn't have been alone in that room together, but that's not the point. The point is that they do have das. So the only time that we're going to say Safek Tumah is going to be, Safek Tumah Rishos Yachid is going to be Tameh, is only when the object in question has das. Here, what's the object in question? Loaves of Truma bread. Now, you cannot have a conversation with loaves of Truma bread. And if you are having a conversation with loaves of Truma bread, so probably need a little assistance, right? So it doesn't have das, it doesn't have intellect. So therefore, the Gemara is basically saying, look, you're right, we're going to be makel, but not because of fundamental principle, but rather because of gzeres hakasov. It's just simply everything is built off the platform of the sota. And since the sota only is tummy when it is when there's das involved, so we're only going to be machmir only when there's das involved. Amar Ravashi Tashma, the Gemara is going to do this again now. Again, trying to compare Sakana to Isura. And so what we'd like to do now is we'd like to move away from the world of Tumah, because every time we try to bring a case study from Tumah, we say, nah, that's Gzeres HaKasav. Don't bring Tumah into the discussion. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? Slucha Sheinicha Megula Uva Umata Mechusa. Okay. The Tumah is easy compared to what we're about to do. Maim Chayim, we're talking now about live water. I don't really mean live water, I mean water that's going to be used for the paraduma. Okay, we know how it works. You take a red cow, you burn the red cow, sprinkle the ashes of the red cow together with water, sprinkle that water on a person who come into contact with a mason. Good, last week's parsha. Okay. Sluchi Shinichu Megula. So I have water which I left exposed, Uva Matze Mechusa. And the next day I come along and it is covered. Tamea. Okay? So that water now is Tamei. Shani Omer, because what we're going to say, even though I didn't see this happen, is Adam Tamei Nechnas L'Sham V'Kisa. We're going to say that somebody who was Tamei came over and closed it. No.
You're saying Adam Tamei, though. You're the president is Tamei. Well,
correct. It's not a chazaka. It's a suffix. We don't know.
It is a chazaka. You're assuming that he was
tameh.
It is not a suffix.
But I'm only objecting. You're right. I'm just objecting to the terminology of chazaka. It's not a chazaka.
But the thing is,
we are assuming. Correct.
But the assumption is a chazaka, no? Do we assume that people in general are tameh or tahor? If you don't know somebody, you assume they're tummy or tahor.
I guess you're right. I guess we would normally assume that he's tahor. Okay, well, just bear with me. I agree with you. I hear your point. Just bear with patience. Hinicha mechusa, but let's go the other direction. This mayim chayim that you collected was covered. Uva umatza megula. And the next morning you go over there and it's uncovered. Imichol lechulda lishtos mimeno nachash. The Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. So, if it was possible that a chulda, that a rat or a hedgehog, drank from it, or a snake, according to Rabbi Gamliel, I'll try to explain a little bit better in just a moment. Oshiard batal, or dew fell on it, balayla, over the course of the evening, psula. So, it would be pasul. Okay, now, a lot of background information, so let's take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi writes the following. Sluchis. Everyone see where I am? It's in the middle. I'm smack in the middle of the Rashi. Shemalu amayim chayim lemechatas. It was filled with water, mayim chayim, that is going to be used for the mechatas. Va'adayin lo nizkacha be'efer. Now, the ashes are not in the water yet. Din nizkacha tamea diktani lamayim. So, ilav salun lisne psula ilav tamu achrina balav hachi mechatas metame afila b'masa. It didn't have the ashes mixed in, because once the ashes are mixed in, it already is a source of tumah, right? The grand irony about paraduma is that it's metame taharim, it's metayer tameyim. Okay, so fine. So it doesn't have the ashes mixed in. So it's just water. So what do we say? That if it was covered and you found it No, let's go the other way. If it was uncovered and you found it covered, so it's Tameo. Rashi. Umitame Oklan Mashkin Vakoshkin the Psula Kirishta called Masa Bamalos Tarahim the Khatas Kariya Rahmana. Okay. Rashi here I think is addressing your issue, which is why are we assuming that the person who's Tame is covering it? And so Rashi writes, he writes it very succinctly, so I'm gonna ad lib a little bit in Rashi. But Rashi says that when it comes to Paraduma and anything that has to do with Paraduma, we're gonna be more machmir. Okay? And so the person who covered it, even though we don't know, and I would agree with you, Ben, that generally speaking, we assume people are tahor. Right. Okay, fine. But we're going to be just simply overly cautious when it comes to paraduma. Okay. Now, let's go the other direction, which is it was covered and then it was uncovered. So, we say here that if a rat could drink from it, or a snake, so then the water is going to be disqualified. So we need the next Rashi. Without this next Rashi, we really are going to have no idea in terms of what's going on. Ditnan, so we're going to learn a Mishnah on Para. The Mishnah on Para goes like this. You know, you have a little animal drink from the water. So what? I mean, in other words, again, this is not a Tumah issue. Right? The animal's alive. The animal's not giving off Tumah. So what's the issue? The issue is, as Rashi is about to explain, it's only going to be a concern if a chulda drinks from it. Rashi, mibnei shehi, mikia, or the other girsa, malekis, Rabbi Gamaliel, omer afanachish dechol, ameki posel, dehol v'yifrisho mehen lishtos, harei nasa behem malacha, v'nifsalu, ukisha mikias poslos es harishonus, demechata nifsalu b'malacha acheres. Okay. Rat drinks from the water. Now, it's the nature of the rat. Now, I don't have empirical knowledge of this. I'm trusting Rashi on this. The way the rat drinks is that he basically sucks water into his mouth. Maybe drinks a little bit of it, I would assume. But a lot of it is spit back right into the with the rest of the mechatas. Okay. And that water that was in the mouth of the rat spat back into the sluchis, into the jug, is considered like avoda, like malacha is done with that water, and that water is pasul, and mixed in with the other water is going to be pasul as well. Okay. Rashi does offer another pshat as well. The East Italian pasul's rishonos, the mechatas nifsu b'malacha, achers can nebrim mesechas getin. The East Italian time in mishon demayim chayim be'inan dechsev mayim chayim al-kali, sheteich yusam be'kli, shalo yom alei kli zeh, ve'ya'are be'kli acher, kodem kiddush. That water, once collected from the spring, has to be maintained in the original kli, cannot be transferred to another kli. Once it goes into the mouth of the chulda and back into the kli, it's like it transferred into another kli, and that's why it's pasul v'zeshamati v'hagonu. The Rashi says, "I heard this pshat and I like this pshat. It's a good pshat as well." Okay, so we're now in the world of paraduma, water for the paraduma that was collected from the spring. Chulda drinks from it. If we know for sure chulda drinks from it, and that means that it went into the mouth of the chulda, went back into here, it's going to be pasul. Rashi offers two explanations as to why, because it's malacha was done, or because you need the original kli. Either way, it's going to be pasul. What we're learning right now in our Gemara is even if I don't know that for a fact, but in other words, the night prior I left it closed, morning of it was exposed, and there's a strong possibility that a chulda or a nachash, according to Rabbi Gamliel says nachash has same drinking habits as a chulda. If they were to drink from it, it's going to be disqualified. Or if dew falls on top of it, right, which is obviously going to be a postal as well, so it's going to be psula, it will be disqualified. Okay, now
is not considered
mayim.
Dew could be dew going to the stream.
Correct, that's correct. But if it's, you know, directly from dew, so that's no good. So v'amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi ma'atam im neishu darkam shal shrotzon legalos vein darkan lechasos. Okay, now the top of we're now on the top of Yud Amud Aleph. So the meaning in this brisa, we were worried if the jug was exposed, but we were not worried if I left it exposed the night prior and it was covered the day of. Yes.
What didn't make sense is if it was open and then you found it closed, then there's a problem. But if it was open and it was left open, then the dew would have gone in there anyway.
That's fair. That's fair. That's again, if there's a potential for dew to drop in. Okay? But ain't dark on the chasa. But the point the Gemara is making is like this. Look, rats and snakes, they may have the ability to uncover the barrel or the jug, but they certainly will never suspect that they're going to cover the jug or they're going to cover the barrel. And so what comes down in this brice over here is that in something which is plausible and explainable, that we'll concern ourselves with. But if it's highly unlikely, we won't concern ourselves with. Meaning, it was exposed the night prior, and then the next morning it was covered, we're not going to entertain the idea, the notion, that maybe a snake went in there, or maybe a chulda went in there, and I could use this water for paraduma. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Can I drink this water? Meaning, not this water. This water is paraduma water. But if I had a similar circumstance where I had another barrel of water and the night prior was exposed and the next morning it was covered, can I drink that water? The answer will be absolutely not. Because I don't know what happened over the course of the evening. It's possible that a venomous animal inserted the venom into the jug. So you see that in the world of halacha, we'll be mekel. In the world of sakana, we absolutely won't be mekel. So skip the parentheses. Rashi does try to read the parentheses in, but we're going to skip it. Skip the parentheses. V'ilu safek mai megula maser. Shema mina chamir sakanta miser. Shema mina. So the Gemara says, look, okay, those cases that we did regarding Tumah Tahara, okay, you didn't like those cases because that's all Gzeres HaKasav, right? You can always answer Gzeres HaKasav, but here we're talking about Paraduma and the disqualification Paraduma, okay? That's quote-unquote regular Isser V'Heter, right? That's Halacha. And meanwhile, within the framework of Halacha, we're going to be Mekel under certain circumstances. So in almost the parallel scenario when it comes to venom of a snake into the water, we're going to be machmir. So what do you see? That we are more cautious when it comes to sakana, when it comes to iser. Okay? It doesn't mean that we are lax in the world of iser, God forbid. It just simply means that when it comes to iser, there's guidelines. There are, right, there's a system, of rule in terms of how to deal with Isser and how to deal with Suffolk Isser. But when it comes to Sakana, we're overly cautious. We're more cautious. Good. The Gemara, as long as we talked about Mayim Megulim, so the Gemara here goes off on a quick tangent. Tanan Hassan, we learned in the Mishnah over there. Gimel Mashkim Asar Mishum Gilui. Three liquids which snakes love. And because of their love for these three liquids, so if they're exposed and unattended, so you can't drink these liquids. And they are Mayim Yayim Mechalav. Water, wine and milk. Kama yishuv yu asurim, and then the Gemara, as long as we're here, the Gemara is going to tell us how much time does the snake leave, need, how long does the liquid need to be unattended, where now you basically have to say, can't drink it anymore. Kidei sheyafsa harachash mimakam karov, out comes the snake. And I know it's funny, you would think that the word should be nachash. Rashi over here says that the word rachash also means a snake. Rashi has targum to support him. So harachash mimakam karov v'yishte. The kama makam karv, what does that mean? A place that's close by. Amar Yitzchak Breid Rav Yehuda Kidei Shiyata Mitachas Ozen Kli. He's hiding behind the handle of the kli. V'yishten, he's able to drink it. Hiding behind the handle of the kli, and then while you're not looking, slithers up to the top, drinks, and the Gemara makes the point. Ha kachazile ela yishte v'yachzor lechoro. Has to be enough time where he's able to drink and then duck back into hiding. So in other words, the whole thing could have happened and you would not have seen any of it. Okay? Again, that's a little bit of a tangent in terms of my Megulin. I told you Tosfos writes, it's not here, I don't remember where it is. Tosfos writes a number of places throughout Shas that this is one of those things that even though in the time of the Gemara clearly banned my Megulin, but we're not as cautious with water. We will drink exposed water. Right? And right, it cuts on to the very big topic, right? It's its own topic, right? Sometimes the Chachamim place a ban, and some, you know, and the reason behind the ban no longer applies, so therefore we can, you know, we can help ourselves to it, like Mayim Megulim, and then there are other times where that is absolutely not the case. Good example. Okay. Itmar. All right. Now we go back. All right. We are, this, the Gemara's coming up over here are so basic and so fundamental, and there's a lot to consider. There's a lot to think about. I'm going to go through this a little quicker than I would like to, but that's the nature of Daf Yomi. And I apologize. Itmar. Hashochi besakim v'nitzah peguma. Okay. Consider the following case. I shecht with a knife. I now, prior to the shechting, let's say that we did an examination of the knife. Knife checks out. Okay? You're not allowed to have a nick on the knife. In fact, later on in the parak, we're going to learn how exactly you do an examination. The most popular way the Gemara has is you do it with your fingernail. Right? The Kohen. Okay, we're not talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Right? The Shochet. Shochet grows his fingernail and basically runs his fingernail along the edge of the knife and makes sure that there's not one nick along the knife. If there is a nick on the knife, you can obviously sharpen it out, smooth it out in order to get rid of the nick. That's good. There was some Amora, I'm remembering, this is based on memory, who did an examination with his tongue. Okay. So it's coming up later in the parak. Fine. So you shecht with this knife, and the knife was glatt. The knife was smooth, and after the shechita, now you look at the knife again, and the knife now has a pegima, it has a nick on it. Now we have learned just yesterday or 2 days ago that if the knife has a nick on it, the animal now that shechita was not a good shechita. Right, according to Tosfos and according to the Rush, that's the psul of Ikur. Right, you have just violated the psul of Ikur. So, fine. So, here's the question. It's so simple, it's so basic. Meaning, prior to Shechita, the knife was smooth. After Shechita, I look at the knife and the knife has a pegima on it. Okay, when did it occur? So, Itmar Shoche B'sakim Nitzah Peguma Amar Avuna Afilu Shibar Ba'asamas Kol Yom Psula Chayishin Hashem Ba'or Nifgama. So Rav Huna now has the most hardline position, but it's consistent with what he taught us in the beginning of today, of this morning's daf, which is, you don't know when this happened. Uh-huh. Remember, I, Rav Huna, am of the position that an animal is usur until you know with absolute certainty that you shechted the animal properly. You don't know that now.
But the thing is, to ascertain that, don't you look at the animal's cut to see whether the esophagus and the trachea were cut properly? And
that's correct.
So then why do you have to check the knife?
Because the knife may have a nick on it. And if the knife has a nick on it, so you that's the psul of Ikor.
So you've already examined the knife before you did this.
Good. And you're going to examine according to Rav Huna, you're going to examine it again after.
But is that a requirement?
It comes out according to Rav Huna, you're going to have to. There's going to be a lot to think about. Just let me see if I can present. Okay, now, simple question now. When did it get the nick? Meaning, you checked it beforehand, it was good. You checked it afterwards, it has a pegima. So when did it happen? So Rav Huna says during the shechita, not just during the shechita, but, and I know this is going to be, this is very improbable, but Rav Huna says it's possible that as you hit the front hide of the neck of the animal, so a nick occurred. That usually metal doesn't nick with such a soft material as the front part of the neck of the animal, but it's possible. And again, Rav Huna says you have to go back to my chazaka. You have a fundamental principle, which is an animal's usur until I know with absolute certainty that it received the proper shechita. Now, Rav Chista Amar Ksheira Shema Be'etzem Nifkama. Now, Rav Chista says, now by the way, I missed one point in Rav Huna which is important. Afilu Shibir Be'etzemas Kol Yom. Let's say with this knife that I shechted with, let's say I cut bones for the rest of the day. Meaning, check the knife before Shechita. Okay, knife checks out. I shechted. And then I didn't even do an examination yet. And then I cut bones all day.
But this goes against Rav's requirement of having three knives, one for shechita and one for
mikvah. Correct. The Gemara over here is just simply making the point how hardline Rav Huna is in his position. You're right. The Gemara here is just saying this just to show you how strongly Rav Huna feels about this. And I cut bones for the rest of the day, and now I find a nick in the knife. Now, you and I can easily suggest, what were you doing after the shechita? You were cutting bones? Oh, okay, fine. The nick comes as a result of the bones. Rav Huna says, I don't care. Rav Huna says, look, Shechita is a transformation of Chazakah. We're going from an Eno Shechuta to a Shechuta. You have to know with 100% certainty that you shafted it with a kosher knife, with a smooth knife. This is the position of Rav Huna. Rav Chista Amar Kshera, Shema Be'etzem Nifkama. Now Rav Chista says it's kosher because Rav Chista will give the more plausible explanation, which is, it's very possible that I shechted with, I'm sorry, that the nick occurred as a result of me chopping bones.
Wait.
Bishlama Rav Huna Kishmaite. So the Gemara says, look, I understand Rav Huna. Meaning, even though Rav Huna is taking a more hardline position, but it's rooted in the concept of chazaka, as we discussed in the very beginning of today's daf. Ela Rav Chista my taima. So, do you understand Rav Chista? So the Gemara says, yes, I do. Amar lecha, Rav Chista will say to you the following. Etzem vadei pogem or suffik pogem. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista says, look, you have to look at the probabilities. Okay? I know that if I cut bone is a very hard material. So if I take a knife and I'm chopping bone, so, right, it's vadei pogem. It causes a nick in a knife. Or hide of an animal relatively rarely causes a nick in the knife, if ever. So suffik lo pogen, have a suffik uvadai, ve ain suffik motzi midei vadai. And if I have a standoff between suffik versus vadai, so come on, it seems like a very simple equation. I'm going to go with vadai over suffik. So I have two explanations in terms of how the knife received this nick. So explanation number one is, it's because I chopped the bones afterwards, or explanation number two is, must have got a snag, must have got a nick when it went through the front of the neck of the animal. Suffolk versus Vadai. I'm going to go with Vadai over Suffolk. Okay. This is the Gemara's explanation of Rav Chista. Mesiv Rava Lusiyua L'Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, I'm going to give you a brisa that is firmly supportive of Rav Huna. Taval. A person tovled in the mikvah. Ve'ala. Okay? Meaning that he was tummy. Obviously. And after tovling in the mikvah, he gets up from tovling in the mikvah, and nimsa alav davar chotzeitz. And then he does a physical examination of his own body, and he sees, I had something, a foreign object on my body. Okay, a chatzitza. And that, obviously, any foreign object on the body, which, again, there are a whole set of rules of makbid and rubo versus miut, but, again, right now, we don't even... we could do the Gemara simply without getting too detail oriented. He has found a foreign object on his body after the tefillah, and afa pishin is asik ba'osa amin kolayam kulo. And let's say, for example, that after he tovled in the mikvah, he went to work that day, and he was involved with that particular item that he finds on his body. And so now, once again, I have a very simple explanation as to why that object, that foreign object, is on my body. Because after I told him the mikvah, I was working with that the whole day. Lo alta lo tfila ad shiyomer bari elisha lo haya alai kodem lachain. Unless he can tell you that before I told him the mikvah, I did a full physical examination of my body, and I know with absolute certainty that I didn't have that on my body prior to me toveling in the mikvah, then and only then will the tefillah work. Otherwise, I'm going to say that the item was on while he toveled in the mikvah, which means that the tefillah didn't work, and it means that he's going to have to tovel again. Now again, the Gemara says, let's set ourselves up with our equation. V'ahacha devadei tava. Look, he for sure toveled in the mikvah. That's a fact. And safek havei ala, safek lo havei ala. I don't know if he had the item on him or he didn't have any item on him. It's the suffix. And it's even a bigger suffix because for the remainder of the day, he was working with that item. So now it's very plausible that the item came on his body after he toveled in the mikvah. The kasi suffix amotsimi de vadai. And meanwhile, suffix trumps vadai. Okay. So the Gemara says, wow. Obviously, you brought this in to support Rav Huna, and it sounds like it supports Rav Huna, but the Gemara says you're looking at everything very simplistically. Meaning, it's just right now the way you're setting it up is, well, it's suffik versus vadai, and, well, in this case, you see suffik trumps vadai, so in the previous case also, by shechting of the animal and you find the nick afterwards, Suffikol trump vaday. So the Gemara says, let's put everything in context. Shani hasam dikla meimer hem etame eches kaso ve'emelo tavo. So the Gemara says, well, in the case of the guy toveling in the mikvah, you know, before toveling into the mikvah, what's the chazaka? Chazaka is his tamei. So the chazaka is his tamei. So I will say that I need to know with absolute certainty that he toveled in the mikvah. So hachanami amid behemaches kaso ve'emelo nishchata. So the Gemara says, okay, but same thing with the animal. Prior to you shechting the animal also has the chazak of being tamei. Hare shchut alafanecha. But the Gemara says, yeah, but I shechted the animal. And the shechted animal is right in front of me. Hachanami hare tava alafanecha. So what do you mean? Same thing with the case of the tefillah. I know for sure that I told it in the mikvah. Ha isyalda be reyusa. But the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm going to question your tefillah because right now you have a chatzitza. Hachanami siyalde be'reyusa. I'm going to question the shechita because there's a nick on the knife. So right now the Gemara says, it seems that these two cases are running right along side by side one another. It seems like the two cases are absolutely parallel with one another. And listen carefully, next line of Gemara, because the next line of Gemara is going to highlight the main difference between the two cases. Sakin Israi Behem, I'm sorry, Sakin Israi Behem Alo Israi. Gemara's answer goes like this. In the case of the animal being shechted, as far as the animal is concerned, looks good. The suffix, in other words, it's true, there's a question mark, but the question mark is not on the animal itself. Question mark's on the knife. It's an external matter to the animal. Okay. In the case of toveling in the mikvah, the question's on the person himself. He's got a problem. Because as he looks at his own physical body, literally in this case, his own physical body, he sees, I had a chatzitza. So although I know I toveled in the mikvah, I know that for a fact, but at the same time, my body, which is what the question is going on, has a chatzitza. So this reyusa, right, this question mark is much bigger than the question mark regarding shechita. So this case may not be fully supportive of Rav Huna. Okay. Now, I'm going to make an executive decision over here. Well, I'm not going to stop, but I'm going to make an executive decision. I will spend the remainder of today's daf, even though we have more daf to go today, discussing a Tosfos, because it's really a fundamental Tosfos. And we're going to discuss this Tosfos right now. So again, now the Gemara has two cases running alongside one another, and the Gemara makes a very, very significant difference between the two cases. The cases were, case number one is where I shech the animal, and afterwards I find a pegim on the knife, I find a nick on the knife. So there Rav Huna will say, the shechita is absolutely no good, okay? And then the other case, and Rav Chissa says the shechita is fine, okay? And then the other case is the case where the guy tovels in the mikvah, and after toveling the mikvah discovers a chatzitza on his body. Where there, the ruling is, the tefillah absolutely did not work. Okay. What's the difference between the two cases? So the Gemara has just taught us the difference between the two cases. Although we could use this as a support for Rav Huna, the Gemara says no, because the cases do not run absolute parallel one to another. In the case of the tefillah, the question mark is in the person himself. In the case of the shechita, the question mark is on the knife. An external item. Okay. Bottom Tosfos on the page. Sakin Yisrai Behem Alo Yisrai Tema. Tosfos writes as follows. Deleika lishnu yahachi ahi demikva shenimda v'nimsa chaser. Debereish nida dekamer hasem dechol atar shenasu agabab lamafriya kum temeos mishum dehachas lefanecha v'hem etamed aches chaser v'alo amrina mikva Yisrai adam lo Yisrai v'hachinam inei mahemed behem aches chaser v'ema lo nishkata dehari hasakin pagam lefanecha. There's a Gemara at the beginning of Nida that discusses the following scenario. There is a mikvah. Now, in order for a mikvah to be kasher mikvah, it has to have 40 sa'a of water. Okay. Now, we know, right, for those of us who have a pool and are blessed to have a pool in our backyards, we know evaporation happens, right? One day you look out in the pool and the water is below the level and you're like, well, how did that happen? And the answer is very simple, evaporation. Or in my case, there was a leak in the pool. But and that was some bill. But... But okay, but evaporation happens, and that happens with a mikvah as well. Okay, so both can happen in a mikvah, evaporation and a leak. Okay. So, there was a mikvah, and it was a kosher mikvah, and it had 40 saw in it, and I toveled in the mikvah. And after I toveled in the mikvah, they looked at the mikvah and they said, wait a second. The mikvah doesn't look like it's all the way to the top. Let's measure the mikvah. And it turns out that the mikvah had less than 40 saw. Okay, so here's what I know. At one point it did have 40 saw. At one point it didn't have 40 saw. And between those two points, I jumped in the mikvah. Good or no good? Oh, I jumped in the mikvah or I put Caleb in the mikvah. So the Mishnah, the Gemara neither tells us, no good. No good. Okay. So now, let me ask you a question. Based on what we just learned in our Gemara in Chulin, the question mark, if the question mark goes on the person himself, so that's a strong question mark. But what if the question mark goes on an external object? An external item?
Who are you looking at, the person or the water?
Well,
who is the chalek on the mikvah itself or the person?
Okay, correct. There are competing chazakas, but in terms of the question, meaning who do I mean? Obviously, I care about the mikvah.
And if you go by Rav Chista, it would be okay. Then.
Right.
It would be okay.
The obvious question that Tosfos is bringing out over here is that the mikvah is an external item. The mikvah is an external item. The question's going on the person. The person wants to know, did I tovel in the mikvah, yes or no? I know, what do you mean, yes or no? I did tovel in the mikvah. And now, later on, it comes out to a question that the mikvah did not have a shear of 40 saw. So, should be kosher. And meanwhile, the Gemara Nida says, it's not. Anything that was toveled in the mikvah between point A and point B, we're going to assume is no good. And so, what Tosos now wants to know is, how come over there we don't make the same argument that the Gemara over here made? That's an external item, and so therefore it should be fine.
But you have to look at the evidence of each chazaka you're looking at.
Right. Okay, good. So, awkward place to pause, but we're going to pause over here. Okay, tomorrow we'll start off, I'll refresh the question. I'll start off, Tosas gives really three fundamental answers to this question. Okay? And just again, it's just it's a lot to think about, a lot to consider.
Why would Rav Chista if the knife had not been used for cutting wood? What would he say?
Gemara's going to ask that question tomorrow. Good. Right. Spot on.